Hi, my name's Juice. All right, not really. But for the purposes of this podcast, that's what I'm called. For 5 years, I wrote a blog called Tales from the Library. It was a chronicle of the nutty crap that happened and the Lynchian people I met as a small-town Appalachian library employee. This podcast is an adaptation of my favorite stories from that blog. This is Tales from the Library Cast.
Dateline, Friday, March 2nd, 2007. Non-actual conversations not actually heard in actual libraries, number 74.
The Doofus.
Hey guys, look, it's a beautiful sunny day.
Gene, the genealogy machine.
It is kind of nice out. I even saw Fatty Manchild wearing a pair of 80s style jam shorts.
Mr. B. Natural.
That's all that fat piece of crap ever wears.
Oh yeah.
Parka.
Even though it is the first day in over 2 months that it is not snowing, raining, windy, or otherwise cold as ass, I will still be wearing my gigantic, filthy Michelin Man parka, but only because it's my trademark, not out of necessity.
Anyway, since it's such a nice day, what say we go for a picnic? Just kidding! Let's all head down to the library for several hours of internet time.
Brent and Bryce, the new devil twins.
Yay!
I don't know, guys. I saw an awful lot of cars out front. I think it's probably pretty busy in there. It is Friday, after all.
So we're supposed to just sit by while other people use the internet? That shit is ours by right, man.
Yes. How else can we possibly chat with skanky women online unless we do so at the public library? There simply isn't another way for a person to chat with such women online on a computer otherwise. I mean, purchasing your own computer for use at your own home or your mother's home just isn't a viable option in this day and age.
Oh, you have a point there, I guess. Okay, I'm in. But I'll only go if we all sign up for computers at the same time.
Of course we're all gonna sign up at once.
And I'm not going unless I can get all cranky about having to wait 15 whole minutes. Then I'll demand the Wall Street Journal and leaf through it at the circulation desk, in the way of God and everybody. Once I find the crossword puzzle, I'll then demand the staff photocopy it for me. Then I'm gonna stand around at the circ desk and grunt and growl and do my puzzle until the staff are crazed and on the verge of kicking me in the junk. And every time a staff member goes back to log on somebody waiting ahead of me, I'll just assume they're doing it for me and follow them on back. Then I'll growl some more when it's not for me after all.
I'm going to enter the library and, as in accordance with tradition, will loudly announce from the threshold of the library's front door that I would like to sign up to use a computer. That way, everyone on staff and indeed every member of the public within the building will know that I want to use a computer, and they will clear out of the way of the computer sign-in sheet and indeed get off of any computer they are currently using so that I might have one.
I'll sign up last so I can have plenty of time to sit around in the main room and torment the staff, too. I'll tell them long-winded stories about each and every one of my ancestors that I've been able to find genealogy records for. Like my great-uncle Stan, who once worked for a guy who sold tools to a man who worked as a mechanic for a crop-dusting pilot until he got an infected hangnail and had to go on unemployment. That's my uncle, mind you, not the crop-duster. Except that they didn't have unemployment back then, so he just died. Leaving a wife and 19 kids, each of whom was a fascinating character on their own. Like his daughter Luffy, who...
God, shut him up before I sick my dog on him!
Gene, how about saving it for the library, huh? I mean, if you're gonna keep dropping names, at least make them interesting names. Like me. For instance, United States Senator John McCain recently wrote me a personal email asking for my contribution to his presidential campaign fund. Well, I wrote him right back immediately to let him know that just like I didn't support George W.'s reelection fund when he wrote me 4 years ago, I will not be supporting any McCain campaign fund either. I might attend the inaugural ball should he have one, but I will not give him one red cent. It's funny, though. I don't know why my replies to their mail keep bouncing. Ah, well, what can I do? I have to reply to every single email I get, right?
Bryce.
But what about me? I'm still banned from using a computer until I pay for that book I lost.
Brent.
Ha! I paid my fines off so I can use a computer again. You know, after waiting 20 or 30 minutes for my turn and all. I'm in a MySpace like there's no tomorrow. In your face!
League of Neighborhood Kids member Tony.
I'm gonna sign up for a computer, too. They still let me use them even though I stole $20 from the cash box that one time. In your face twice, Bryce.
What are you kids, green or something? No, Bryce, listen. Just sign up for a computer anyway. The staff can never tell you or Brent apart, even though one of you is clearly a head taller than the other. And even if they catch on, they'll just be pissed off you had the sack to try and sign up again after all the times they've told you you were banned because of fines. It's win-win.
I know. I'll sign up with my middle name. Then they might think we have a third brother.
That's the idea. You're catching on now.
Yeah, and if they do call you on it, I'll help run interference by signing up for computers repeatedly throughout the afternoon, often returning to the desk to sign up again before my time has even run out. You'll always have a shoulder to look over, Bryce.
Oh, that'll squeeze a Cleveland steamer in their Wheaties real good. The only thing that could make it better is if you tried to sneak some coffee back, too.
Barbara Turdmerkel.
As long as you'll all be using computers, perhaps one of you could show me how to log into the account for my credit protection service. I'm certain that my oversexed next-door neighbor is still trying to steal my identity. She'll probably do something just awful with it, like trying to make people think I'm crazy or something. Only, I can never remember how to get into my credit protection service account to check. Don't worry, I trust each of you with all my passwords. Here, I wrote them down for you in advance. And because the staff will quickly learn to avoid me, as though I were coated in dog feces, I'll lie in wait for them in other rooms, jumping out to tell them about all the lists of my relatives I wasn't able to get the computers to print properly last time, and to show them the many lists I was able to print. Like this one that has my Uncle Stan's daughter Luffy's name on it. I remember that my grandmother once told me about this time when Luffy stumped her toe on the edge of the tub and...
Gene, you know I love you, guy, but I swear to God I'm gonna hit you in the throat with a rolled-up New Yorker if you don't shut the hell up. In fact, when we get to the library, I'm gonna wait for my computer far away from you. I'll go upstairs where I can spread out at one of the tables and flip through Newsweek's entertainment section. I want to catch up on all the news about all the people I used to be close personal friends with back when I was a high society demigod in California. I'll flip from page to page and sigh longingly. And every now and then I'll look up to watch that one exceptionally slow library staff member as she takes the better part of 3 hours to put new spine labels on only a couple of dozen books.
And furthermore, when I eventually tire of chatting with skanky women on the library's public computer and enter into what I like to call my skanky women refractory period, I will at last arise from the computer chair and go back to my mother's house. But before I do, I will first ask a staff member what the library's hours are for the following day, so that I will be well informed as to when I can next return to the library to chat with skanky women, because I am horny.
I'm not crazy, you know. Here, just look at this picture of me from when I was young and beautiful. Does that picture look like a crazy person to you? No, it doesn't, does it? You know, if you'd like to see more pictures of me when I wasn't crazy, I have more of them back at my apartment. I like to climb into my bathtub and look at them.
Yo, I'll take some of that action!
Oh? Oh, be sure to watch your toes when climbing into that tub. Otherwise, you'll wind up like Uncle Stan's daughter, Luffy, who got gangrene from an infected ingrown toenail caused when she stumped it on the tub, and then she had to have her entire left side amputated, and... I don't think they're listening.
Random male patron.
I'm just gonna come in and repeatedly ask for a computer over the course of the entire afternoon. I'll act all impatient and give the staff dirty looks whenever there aren't any computers free. I won't actually sign up for one and wait my turn, of course, but I'll just come back a half hour later and do it all again.
Also a very good tactic.
the coot.
I don't care about no computer giggity gadgets. I'm just gonna set up shop outside the noisy lady's office, slouched way down in the chair until my legs block the entire walkway. And then I'm gonna grunt and sing and fart all the livelong day. That is, when I'm not splashing water in the bathroom.
Knock yourself out. Well, this sounds like a perfectly splendid way to spend a nice sunny Friday afternoon. As long as it's just us and no weirdos or perverts show up.
Yes, no weirdos or perverts.
Yeah, like that sick fuck Chester the potential molester.
No, wait, don't
molester.
Say his name. It gives him...
Did someone call me?
20 minutes to an hour later.
Hey, this keyboard has flaky white stuff in all the keys. What gives?
Krusty the patron.
Oh, sorry, that was me. I was in for several hours before you arrived and got booted from computer to computer, so they're all pretty much contaminated with my buttery flaky beard crust.
The commentary bit. Today's episode was probably the second blog entry that I knew I had to do when I was first thinking of entries to adapt from the original Tales from the Library blog. The only trouble was I had to wait until now to adapt it because I had to introduce and establish all those characters in order for it to make sense. In fact, I have half a mind to re-release some setup episodes just to shore up the joke that much more. Granted, I might be the only guy who's amused by it, but it's one of my top 5 favorite entries to have penned during the 5-year run of the blog. While the dialogue I used is completely fictional, the inspiration behind it came from an actual Friday afternoon in March of 2007, during which most of the characters depicted here turned up within minutes of one another and all signed up for computers. And this was back in the days at our original library building when we only had 3 public access computers, all of which were already full due to the high Friday traffic. So everybody was pretty much shit out of luck and had to wait an eternity before their asses saw a computer chair. Now, due to the fact that I was writing this as fiction, I did take the liberty of adding Krusty the Patron into the mix toward the end of the original blog entry. I have no memory of him actually being there that day. Similarly, while adapting the entry for the podcast, I decided to add a couple of 3 other characters who weren't present that day either. These were, of course, Chester, Parka, and Barbara Turdmerkel. I think Parka didn't even live in the area by March of 2007, and Barbie T wasn't a regular presence anyway. But Parka's and Barbara's voices are just so fun for me to do that I figured I'd add them in anyway. And it was only after they were present in this new scene that it occurred to me that they should probably make out with one another. You're welcome. Of course, the real inaccuracy in my portrayal of the actual guy I called Parka is that he too was quite skilled in tormenting the staff while waiting for a computer. And if he had been present that day, he and Gene the genealogy machine would have had to fight for space in the card catalog's computer rolly chair. For while Gene adored sitting in it and lecturing us about his dead relatives, Parka also liked to sit in it, stretching his legs way out over our runner carpet in the way of God and everybody, where he would then stare daggers of impatience at us, as though it were somehow our fault that the patrons who were legitimately on computers were taking so long to relinquish them. On more than one occasion, we suggested to him that he would find more comfortable chairs upstairs, but he always declined our suggestion, preferring to remain a burr in our side rather than risk us conveniently forgetting to come get him. The other inaccurate portrayal of a character here, at least considering the year this was written, is probably the doofus. Now, when that guy blew into town in
2003...
he was certainly an internet hog of life, and would cheerfully refuse to give up his computer for hours at a stretch, confounding the timid and non-confrontational newbie greenhorns who had to ask him repeatedly to hand it over. But after getting yelled at a few times by those of us with spines, and I believe a threat from Mrs. C that the computer would be turned off in his face, losing all of the work he'd done on his document, he finally decided to play nice.
Well, that and the fact that the document he was so keen on composing was a story about our library, which he hoped to parlay into a job as our PR director for the new library campaign we were about to undergo. And his behavior, in addition to that, completely failed to net him that job. One story that I didn't find room to do in the podcast I devoted to the doofus last year was one in which he made me laugh pretty hard. Mr. B. Natural was in one day, and if memory serves, was complaining loudly about Mr. Stanky and his stench. The doofus happened up to gather some pages from the printer when Mr. B. said something about Mr. Stanky just being another one of Tri-Metro's weirdos, to which the doofus said, "Join the club!" Oddly, as concerned as I was about making sure I introduced all the characters in the podcast before adapting this, the one mention I made of Fatty Manchild in the entry was actually the first appearance of Fatty Manchild on the blog itself. I'd been planning to write about him for a while in March of 2007, as he'd been an Odd Bird patron of ours for a while, and I did eventually get around to writing about him 26 days later. But I was just so amused at my own entry that I decided to leave the reference of him and let history sort it out later. Now it's time for the LibraryCast Favorite Podcast of the Week. This week's favorite podcast is actually two podcasts released by The Nerdist. One features an interview with Zach Braff, who is one of my favorite people due to his involvement with one of my favorite TV series, Scrubs. He and Nerdist host Chris Hardwick evidently ran into one another in a parking lot somewhere and learned they were mutual admirers. It's a very fun interview, and Scrubs does get discussed, along with other topics, including his involvement with Sam Raimi's Wizard of Oz prequel, Oz the Great and Powerful. The other podcast is Nerdist's interview with Eric Idle, Billy Connolly, Eddie Izzard, and Sophie Winkleman, who were stars of Eric Idle's semi-improvisational musical radio play, What About Dick? This play was recorded in front of a live audience of about 2,000 people and is now available for digital download for the mere price of $6, which you can find at the website whataboutdick.com. It also stars Tim Curry, Tracy Ullman, Jim Piddock, Jane Leaves, and Russell Brand. The cast who make it on The Nerdist are just a delight, and so I'm looking forward to downloading this play itself. Perhaps I'll review it here sometime in the near future. Eric Idle also makes an appearance on The Adam Carolla Show this week, which was a very funny episode, as you would expect. Both of those can be found at Nerdist.com and AdamCarolla.com, which you can find linked at LibraryCast.com. Follow me on Twitter at LibraryCast. Read the original Tales from the Library blog at library.blogspot.com. Buy shit on Amazon and click through the banner at LibraryCast.com to do so. You'll get shit, I'll get a slice of that shit to support my shit. Music for the show is by Mr. Joel Hunger. Until next time, just remember, the library loves you, but only if you have a photo of yourself from back when you were young, beautiful, and not crazy.
I'm not going to be able to do that.